If you have your Bibles, I'm excited about what I'm going to be preaching on, and we'll try to move quickly. But turn to John chapter number 15. Brother Dave, your testimony is right where I'm preaching today. And I was about to shout you down. Amen. John chapter 15, if you're there, say amen. Amen. There'll be a statement that I'll read in a moment. It'll probably jump out at you. This passage just absolutely thrilled my soul when I read it this week, and I've been doing some study on it, and the more I studied, the more I gleaned, and the better it got in my soul. And I want you to see it. John chapter number 15, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And verse number 12, and I'll read down through verse number 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Boy, he'll make some statements. He'll start making some statements that are large here. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, here's where I'm going, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I want you to, you might want to shout right here. But I have called you friends. Whew. I don't think y'all got that.
Amen, preacher.
But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I'm about to get happy. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. For whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. You know, I get around the nation. I travel a lot of churches. I meet a lot of people. My secretary probably could testify right now. She could testify. I get people calling here at the church and saying statements like this. Tell Pastor Smith, his friend from Virginia, called, and tell him that. And I looked at my secretary and I said, huh? I got a lot of people call me friends. I don't even know who they are. But I want you to know something. I looked at Webster's dictionary, and here's what it said in Webster's dictionary about a friend. Webster says it like this. It's one that is attached to another by affection or esteem. When I say that's my friend, I am saying I have affection for you and I have esteem for you. Boy, I'm about ready to get happy. Now, that's more, I think a lot of people that call me friends, they are acquaintances. But a real friend is attached to you, has esteem for you, has affection for you. Well, it's not shallow. It's deep. I want to tell you, I've had some good friends at Taze Valley Baptist Church, and if I started naming them, I might hurt somebody's feelings, but I want to tell you, they're the real deal. It's not shallow. When the disciples, and that's who the context is about here, and they were in the upper room when the disciples met Jesus, first met the Messiah. By the way, he was the Messiah. He came from heaven. And I believe in the incarnation. How many believe that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. Somebody help me preach. He was the eternal Savior. Hey, by the way, he just didn't start 2,000 years ago. He has been forever. John the Baptist said when he came, down the Jordan, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He touched the lepers, and they were cleansed. He touched the dead man, he rose. he went on the sea and calmed the sea. The demons, he cast them out. And he took the lame man, he made him walk. And he took the deaf man, made him hear. And he took the mute man, glory to God, and made him talk. I'm talking about my friend. These disciples had experienced for 3.5 years the Lord. And here's what he said to them when they started, follow me. Now he's taking them up to a room. He's in the upper room. That's chapter 13, 14, 15, and on. And he said, I'm going to be slaughtered. I'm going to die. And it terrified them. He was going to leave. That's why he wrote John 14 and said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Were it not so, I told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Somebody help me preach. And they were terrified. And then he makes a statement, John 15, that absolutely just rocked my world. I'm calling you more than servants. From henceforth, I am calling you friends. I don't know. I don't know if that moves you or not. To think that the God of heaven, the Lord of glory, would say, you are my friend. Hey, Isaac, by the way, you've done a great job last Sunday night. Can I tell you, doesn't that do you good, Isaac, that to know that Jesus Christ, whether you're playing football, or whether you're out, or whether you're in school, or you're out of school, aren't you thankful that God says, I'm your friend? That you, well, glory, he's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. Amen. Now, let me get down to the preaching, and I'm going to use this whole chapter, and you follow with me if you got your Bibles, word by word. And let me tell you about a real friend of Jesus. Number one, in verse number one, they abide in the Savior. Look what the Bible said. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. That word abide there means to stay or to tarry or remain. I want to tell you, a true friend of Jesus is one that abides in Jesus, that stays for Jesus, that is true for Jesus, that loves Jesus. Somebody help me preach. There's 3 or 4 things I want you to see here. First of all, I want you to notice the character of the sovereign. Jesus, first of all, I want you to see the present existence. I am the true vine. By the way, Jesus is our life. He's the resurrection of the dead. He's the firstborn of the dead. He is our life. Thank God I have no life without his life. I couldn't live the... Somebody said, well, I'd get saved, but I can't live the Christian life. I can't live it either, but he can live it through you. I am the life. He's the vine. I'm the branch. I abide in him. Woo! I saw something else here about ready to thrill my soul. Look at it if you would. I am the true vine, and my husband, my Father is the husband. He was saying, I'm the present existence. But hold it, he's the providential executor. I'm your life, but he's your leader. I'm glad that I'm connected to the vine. By the way, the branches have no life of their own unless it's getting it from the vine. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Somebody say amen. By the way, I'll tell you what. We see the character of the sovereign, but in verse 2, we see the conviction of sin. I want you to know something. you ever find out who God really is and who you really are, it'll bring you under a conviction that you've never met before in your life. I'm talking about real conviction. Hey, a lot of people says, well, I'm saved. Well, are you really? Because I'll be digging into this in just a moment. Are you really saved? Have you really had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you a branch and he is your vine and he is sustaining you and helping you and blessing you? Somebody help me preach. Amen. Yes. Amen. Then I want you to notice verse 3, the cleansing through the scripture. You abide in Christ? Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Let's hear it out. You'll never abide in Christ. You'll never have a relationship with Christ until you hear the word of God. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I think there's a lot of people, I hear this, say, well, you got to turn over a new leaf to be saved. All right, you got to be baptized to be saved. You've got to be sprinkled when you're a baby and confirmed when you're a baby to be saved. Absolutely not. That's totally false. That'll take you to hell quicker than anything. You've got to have a relationship with Christ. You've got to be cleansed by the word of God. You've got to receive God's word, and that'll bring cleansing to you. Somebody help me preach. Am I preaching? Thank God. Then he'll do some pruning, purging, and perfecting. See, real salvation. Look at me. Really being a friend, you must have a connection with God. Then I see a connection with the source. Look at verse 5. I'm the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth how much fruit? Much fruit. And notice this statement. Without me, say it, you can do nothing. I want you to know something. John Smith's nothing without Jesus. We've had people say, well, I'm this and I'm that. I am nothing without Jesus. I realize I can't preach without him. I can't teach without him. I can't walk for him. I can't live for him unless I've been connected to him and him to me. Somebody help me preach. Amen. If you're here this morning, you say, well, I made a profession years ago, or maybe I am. I'm not sure that I am. If I died today, I really can't say for sure. I want you to know I can say for sure I'm saved today, and I know I'm saved because I've been connected. I am a part of the true vine. Listen to me. Don't walk out this door if you've not had a connection with Jesus. Don't walk out this door if you're not abiding in the Savior. You say, but I try to live right. That's not enough. You must have a relationship. Amen. 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 Now this is straight stuff now.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Then let me give you the fifth thing in this first point. I'll try to move. The castigation of the soul. Look at verse 6. It stirred me. If you abide not in me. And notice this term. I want you to see it. He is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That stirred me. Notice this. Would you all look at your Bible with me? I want to show you something. Look at verse 3. It says, now ye are clean. Look at verse 4. Abide in me, and I abide in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of yourself except to abide in advance. No more can ye except you abide in me. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. But then verse 6, he said, if he abide not in me, he is cast forth. That he is not a ye. And I want you to know something. Now, the direct context here, I want you to get it. This is the upper room experience. He's fellowshipping with his disciples. He's breaking bread with them. And Judas just left. And the context is, the he was Judas. And you know what Judas was? He was a professor, but not a possessor. I want you to look at me. If you have any doubts about what happened to you years ago, if you just joined a church or united with a church and that's it, you are a professor and not a possessor. And I'd hate to think I got down to death and I'm uncertain whether I really possess Christ. Somebody help me preach. He said, many will say, Lord, Lord, have I prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils. And he said to them, I never knew you. Not that I knew you and lost you. Oh, you ever get saved, he ain't losing you. You ain't losing your salvation. You're saved forever. But here's what really bothers me. There's a lot of people that's never really got hooked in, and they're not a part of the vine, and they're not abiding in Christ. And it scares me to death. They're going through some profession, but they've never really possessed Christ. Amen. Good preaching, Reverend. And the churches are full across this nation of people that profess and they come to church as some civic duty. I tell you why I came to church this morning. I came to church because I've met the Master. I came to church because I want to be here. I'm come to church because it's his house and I ought to be in his house and I love him and I'm connected to him. And I want you to know it's not just lip service with me. I got the real deal. Whew. Let me hurry. Am I preaching? Number two, not only do they abide in the Savior, number two, they abound in service. The production of fruit. Look at verse 2. It says they bring forth fruit. Then he said they bring forth more fruit. Then it says in verse 5, they bring forth much fruit. I want you to know something. If you're abiding, you're abounding. If you're abiding, you're bringing forth fruit. Now look at me. I don't want to be ugly. But if you're not bringing forth fruit, you're not saved. You said, but I made a profession. You can make a profession till the cows come home. But have you really been changed? Are you really on your way to heaven? Have you really met Christ? Hey, a lot of you are here. People have invited you here. You know why they invited you here and wanted you here? Because they wanted to make sure that you knew you were saved, that you were on your way to heaven, that you were abounding in service, that you were fruitful and you love God and you're producing something in your life. That's a Christian intention, is to bring fruit. That's a clear indication. If you don't have any fruit, you ain't got no root. See, the root is under the ground, and the fruit is above the ground. But if there's nothing under the ground, then you ain't got nothing above the ground. Yes, sir. Good preaching. You talk, we mean fruit. Righteous character. Galatians says, fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, temperance, you know. I want you to know something. You really say you got the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will produce something. Yes, see, I got peace today. You said, what kind of peace you got? I got this kind of peace. This, you said, nobody can say what you're about to say. Well, I'm going to say it anyway. I got this kind of peace. If I drop dead this morning, I know I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Let me ask you this. Can you say that? If you drop dead this morning, drop dead before this service was over, can you say with 100% assurance, I know I'm going. You know why I know, Isaac? I got fruit. Not only, good preaching, Reverend. Amen. not only righteous character, but reproduce children. By the way, you know how I know I'm saved? Because I'm wanting to get other folks saved. The morning, the night I got saved, guess what? Guess who I told I wanted to see saved? I wanted my dad to be saved. Now, he didn't get saved that night, and he kind of brushed me off. But I want to tell you, we had a big revival at our church. Guess who was the first guy that got saved in the revival that we had 48 people saved? My bartending daddy come and got saved. You say, why? Because he told the whole congregation, my boy told me that it's real, that it's good, and I want to be saved. And you know how what he prayed? He didn't pray a big prayer. He just said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And I want to tell you, that's enough. I'm trying. And look at verse 7. I'm bogging down the production of fruit, but also the position with the Father. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, listen to this. You can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Whew. I have accessible prayers. Aren't you glad when you got saved that you can go right to the Father? I don't have to go through Mary, and I don't have to go through the Pope, and I don't have to go through some bishop or some priest. No, I am a priest, and he is the high priest, and I can go right to him. You know why? Because I abide in him. Whew. Somebody ought to shout right there. And then assured promise. Well, glory. He said, I'll answer your prayers. How many in this room know you're saved? Raise your hand. Hold them high if you know. And you know that because you know God answers your prayer. How many in here know God answers your prayer? How many can shout right now over a prayer that's been answered recently?
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Woo!
Thank God.
He's a prayer answering God.
Yes, he is.
You know why? It's because I'm hooked into it. Let me hurry. Man, oh man. An accomplished product. Look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. I'm going to tell you what. He said you bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. You know why? Because we're connected right. Are you connected right? Have you been saved? Have you had a relationship with God? Then verse last thing, I'm done. I'm moving. An act in submission. I say a precious love. Look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That's precious love. By the way, Jesus was a spotless example. How many can believe that? He loved us. A specified exhortation. Because I loved you, you ought to love others. That's even your enemies. And that ain't easy to do. Am I preaching? Then I see an extreme or supreme expression. And I'll finish with this. I want you to look at verse 13. If you're here lost, please look at verse 13. I love this. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. I want to say this. Jesus is the sinner's best friend. His friendship is seen in sacrifice. By the way, it was voluntary. You know what he done? The God in heaven said, I am volunteering to come and die for you, Amy. Come and die for you, brother. And you, brother. Somebody help me preach. He didn't have to, but he chose to. Somebody help me preach. He said, I've had people love me. You haven't loved you that much? In my preaching head, it was vicarious. You said, what do you mean by that? That means that word means performed or suffered by one as a substitute for another. He took my place. See, I should have died on Calvary. I should be in hell right now. But Jesus suffered my hell. He became my sin. He took my sin. Oh, somebody help me preach. Amen. And he laid down his life. It was vicious. He was betrayed of Judas, beaten by the temple guards, rejected by the very people he came to save, scourged, beaten beyond recognition, mocked by the soldiers, beard plucked out, stripped naked, marred beyond belief. And you said, why did he do it? Because he loved you. And thank God it was victorious. I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing better than that. That's why he said in Revelation, I have the keys of death and hell. He's the key man. You know why I'm not going to hell? It's because he came out of the grave, and because he lived, I can live also. Ladies and gentlemen, ain't nobody loved you like he loved you. So here's my question. I'll conclude. Are you a friend of Jesus? By the way, you're a friend of Jesus. You'll have joy unspeakable and full glory. You won't be in the molly grubs all the time saying, man, I'm a loser. No, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, you're a winner. Amen. You know why? He's your friend. Here's the text. I call you friends. You and him friends? Are you abiding in the Savior? Are you abounding in service? Are you acting in submission? Are you really a friend of Christ? Have you really been saved? Or are you really just going through the motions? Bow your head with me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. If you're here today, and maybe somebody invited you, or you're here today and you say, Preacher Smith, if I died today, I'm not really sure I would go to heaven. I wonder right now, how many in this room, honestly, you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven? And most of you know that you really wouldn't. But he wants to be your friend. He died and proved that he wanted to be your friend. He'll accept, hey, listen, you'll be accepted in the blood. All you got to do is trust him this morning. I wonder how many right now say, Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand a little bit ago to say I'm saved, because I really ain't. But I want to be. Before I die, I want to know I'm going to heaven. And I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand if you're not really sure? Slip it up. I see that hand. Somebody else. Hold my eyes so I can see you. If you're not sure, I see that hand, man. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else? Oh, come on now. Your friend brought you today because he wants to see you saved. Yes, I see that hand. I'm having a hard time. Somebody else. Somebody else say, Preacher Smith, I'm not really, I'm just sure I'm saved. And I do want him as my friend. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to be a friend. Just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. Maybe you made a profession one time, but you can't rest on, because you know when you go to bed at night, you think, oh my God, I'm not really saved. How many others say, Preacher, I'm not sure, but I need to be. Pray for me. Pray for me. Now there's hands raised, and here's what I want you to do. If you raise your hand, I believe you're sincere, and I believe God's working with you. I want you to get up at your seat and come up here and let one of these soul winners show you exactly how you can be his friend and how you can have a relationship with him. Stand with me. I'll pray. Then you ought to come right out of your seat. Our Father, I pray for those that raise their hand. those under conviction, those that really need Christ, I pray this morning, Lord, that you help them and touch them. In Jesus' name, amen.